It's time to find out now what that mystery sound we've been playing all show actually is. If you've missed it, we'll play it once more, see if you can guess. Any ideas? Well, if you can't guess, it's actually a gecko. And scientists this week from the Ludwig Maximilian University of Munich announced they had made an amazing gecko discovery. Well, it's long been known that lizards drop their tails to avoid being eaten by predators, but little was known about the Madagascan fish scale gecko and its ability to shed its skin when under attack. Until now. With me to talk about this strip-teasing gecko and the researcher's amazing discovery is PhD student Mark Schertz. Mark, welcome to the program. Madagascar has a lot of weird geckos and you've found one more to add to that list. What makes this particular reptile you've been researching so unique? And I'm not even going to try and pronounce the gecko's scientific name. I'm going to leave that up to you.
Yeah. Well, thanks. So this new species, it's a member of the genus Geckolepis, and it's called Geckolepis megalepis.
See, I told you I couldn't even get that out.
I mean, it's a nice name. We think that it sounds fun to say out loud, and it's sort of, I mean, what people have been saying is unique is the fact that it can lose its scales. That's not really true. The whole genus can do this. What is in fact unique about this particular species is the size of these scales. So all members of the genus Geckolepis, in fact, have large overlapping scales that come off when you grab them. But Geckolepis megalepis has the largest of these scales, and that really allows us to tell it apart very easily from any of the other species in the genus.
When you talk about large scales, how big are they? What are we talking about in terms of large scales when we compare it to the gecko's actual body size?
Yeah, so the scales are about 8% of the body size of the lizard. So that's slightly smaller than your hand relative to your torso. So, I mean, that's pretty big. I mean, obviously, it depends on how big your hands are. But also, so in terms of the real size, they're probably a little bit smaller than your pinky nail. So, rather large scales, and certainly the largest in terms of actual millimeter measurements of any gecko that we know of.
So imagine these scales are quite rubbery. I've looked at the pictures, and that's kind of what I've got in my mind. Is that what they're really like?
No, actually, they're quite hard. In fact, they have bony sort of crystals inside of them, and that these formations they make the scales relatively hard. On the outside, they're maybe a little squishy, but really quite dense. And that means that, or my theory is, that when a tooth or a claw tries to go through these scales to grab the nice juicy flesh underneath, it sort of gets stuck. And then that action, or of being trapped in the jaws of the predator, causes the sort of effect where the skin separates from the underlying tissue, and it pulls away, and so the gecko can escape, leaving all of this tissue, the skin and the scales, in the mouth of the predator. Now, if this predator is a snake, snakes don't have, like you and me, a tongue that can push these things out of its mouth. So they have to sort of scrape their heads against the ground in order to get these scales free. And that gives the gecko time to escape, obviously.
We're used to lizards dropping their tails when they're preyed upon, but I've never heard this for a gecko. Does it hurt the gecko when they lose their skin? Is there their blood and mess, or is it?
Yeah.
How does it work?
It's an interesting question. So there are definitely nerves that go through. I mean, it would be totally pointless to have an outer dermis that doesn't have some kind of feeling to it, because you know you have to be able to sense your environment. So I imagine that there is some discomfort or pain, but these things are so specialized on this that it must have somehow been compensated for in evolution. Now, they also are able to lose their tails. So just like all other lizards, these geckos lose their tails, or not all lizards, but most lizards. And what's interesting is that they lose their tails also probably easier than most reptiles. So I personally have never seen one alive that didn't have a regenerated tail. So they almost always, as they get older, they're losing their tails at some point in their lives.
So we've got a gecko that's just lost its skin, a fish scale gecko. We've got one running around that's mm-hmm. I imagine, naked. It's just jumped out of its skin. How long does it take to regenerate that skin layer that they have lost?
Yeah. So, I mean, you asked before if it's like bloody afterward. It's not. It's a bit slimy, but there's no blood. So probably there are what's called vasoconstrictors, these chemical pathways that are causing the blood vessels that would usually bring oxygen to the outer skin to close pretty much instantaneously, so there's no blood going anywhere. And then you're left with this sort of gooey gecko that, I mean, at this point, anything that is sort of dryish will stick to the skin. And what we think happens is that these naked geckos will then go and search for a place that is more humid and more sheltered, probably underneath some tree bark. Usually during the day you find these geckos under tree bark anyway, but probably they go and hide in a humid, nice place until the regeneration process has sort of started. And that takes maybe 2 to 3 weeks, and it's not clear to me if that's the 2 to 3 weeks to get the scales all the way back or just 2 to 3 weeks to start the process.
So if the geckos lose their skin so easily, surely then they're hard to catch in the first place for you to study. How do you go about doing that?
Yeah, they're a nightmare to catch. So there are a few different ways. I mean, in the 19th century, there were some German researchers working in Madagascar, obviously for much longer periods than we typically are there. And they apparently tried to catch these things with cotton wool, like large bundles of cotton wool that they would then sort of press on top of the gecko, hoping that it can't escape from underneath, and then somehow get at them. But I'm not really sure how that would be any better than trying to grab one with your hand. So what we do, I mean, sometimes we can catch them in a bag. So we have one person chasing and one person holding the bag. And if you do it right, you can have the bag just underneath the gecko, and then you can have someone just sort of bat it, so you're not making too much contact with the animal, and it sort of falls into the bag. Now, these geckos are very, very fast, so that's maybe not the most reliable way to catch them, but it's certainly the best way to catch them without causing them any harm. But if you are trained and have some experience, it is possible to catch them by hand and lose maybe one or two scales, not this wholesale scale shedding that the geckos often trigger if you grab them with your hand. But it takes some luck and practice.
I'm just imagining here a bunch of scientists running around Madagascar with plastic bags in their hands trying to catch the gecko in order to study them.
Yes, that's pretty much an accurate picture.
Now, you didn't only focus on the gecko's outward appearance. You did a number of CT scans, I understand, on the little reptiles. What did they show?
So we turned. It's important to know for reptile taxonomy, we want to sort of find characters or morphological characteristics that allow us to sort of sort out what is what. And usually we would use scales, like the number and the shape of the scales, their distribution, their patterns. Well, obviously, when the scales from Gecolepus grow back, they don't necessarily have the same pattern that they had originally. And that makes a lot of problems for us to try and sort out their taxonomy. And so we turn to micro-CT, which is basically just a 3D X-ray, in order to try and find characters that don't get damaged when we catch the animals. And so we looked at the skeletons, we looked especially at the skulls, and this is where Juan, one of the co-authors, he's based in the States, but he's actually Colombian, and he is a true expert on gecko skulls. And so what he and I did together is to look at the skulls of these geckos, try and find characters that are, you know, sort of variable within a species, and then rule those ones out and just look for things that are characteristic of each species. And in the end, we were able to do that. I won't go into the details of what they were because it's sort of very jargon rich. But we were able to find a few characters that really are nice for sorting these things out.
Just finally, where the geckos live in Madagascar, is that a protected habitat or are the geckos threatened by humans there?
Yeah, so it's a really interesting habitat. I mean, yes, it's protected. Almost the entire area of this, it's called a limestone pinnacle karst. The Malagasy word is tsingy, which I've very been told, I mean, some people say that it's called that because when you flick it, it goes tsing. But also, that apparently means a place where you can't walk barefoot or something. I don't believe that. But anyway, I think it's from the flicking thing. And this formation is really interesting. So it's you have to imagine sort of craggy. If you think about the path to Mordor from the Lord of the Rings, it's sort of these big rocks that are very unpleasant to walk through. And it makes it very difficult to access any area. It also means that the habitat is sort of, it's very divided and channeled. It has all of these natural features that stop, if you have disturbance from humans in one area, it doesn't necessarily affect the neighboring canyon or whatever. And so these geckos are actually, you know, they're protected inside this habitat by the national park, the Ankarana National Park, but they're also protected by the geography, which is quite rare for the group.
Mark Schertz, PhD student at the Ludwig Maximilian University of Munich, congratulations on your find and thank you for joining me on the program. It's been wonderful speaking to you.
Yes, you too. Thank you for having me.